This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
India is set to resume exporting coronavirus vaccines from next month. Live from London, this is Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Rahul Tandon, in for Victoria Craig. Good morning. Dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic comes down largely to vaccinating the world's population against the disease. That goal faced a huge setback in April of this year when the world's biggest vaccine manufacturer, India, halted exports of shots as it dealt with its own wave of the Delta variant of the disease. But the health minister, Mansukh Mandavia, has announced exports will resume next month. I've been finding out why India made this move now from Abhantika Ghosh, health editor of the online news portal The Print in Delhi.
Firstly, the COVID numbers are really down. Also, the vaccine availability is easing. Over the next 3 months, the government of India expects about 1 billion vaccine doses to be delivered from various companies. But to my mind, what is the most important thing is that Prime Minister Narendra Modi travels to the US later this week and President Joe Biden hosts him at the White House on September 24th. So I think this also has to do with that visit.
What about vaccination rates in India at the moment? Is India really able to export vaccines?
Last week on Prime Minister Narendra Modi's birthday, we did 25 million vaccinations in one day. That's a record. And the average has also significantly gone up. Now, if you look at the number of people fully vaccinated, that is still fairly low. That's in the range of 20-21%. But if you look at the last 3 months, the vaccination pace per day has really picked up.
And what about the public reaction to this? Because the last time India exported vaccines, that became a huge issue when COVID numbers went up.
That's right. We had started exporting vaccines in February 2021, and the outrage didn't really happen till the COVID numbers in India started going up. That was around late March, early April 2021. Because now, since COVID is not really in anybody's minds, because the numbers are down, deaths are down, everything is down, there is not much reaction. It will take another surge, I believe, for that kind of an outrage to happen.
Abhantika Ghosh, health editor of The Print, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Shares in Universal Music Group surged more than a third in value at their stock market debut in Amsterdam this morning after being spun off from the French entertainment giant Vivendi. The firm behind artists such as Lady Gaga and Taylor Swift is betting that a boom in music streaming revenue still has a long way to run. Elsewhere on the markets, Tokyo's main share index, the Nikkei, closed down around 2% amidst ongoing concerns about the Chinese property conglomerate Evergrande's ability to repay debts due on Thursday. European markets are trading up between 1 and 1.2%. Now, a trade deal that gives exporters in Africa tariff-free access to the United States expires in 4 years, but pressure to extend it or replace it is being exerted now, long before that deadline. Many businesses across the continent have benefited from the African Growth and Opportunity Act, or AGOA, but experts believe the US may want to update it with a new arrangement for free trade in both directions. Russell Padmore reports.
The African Growth and Opportunity Act, or AGOA, provides the framework for U.S.-African trade.
The African Growth and Opportunity Act, introduced by the United States in May 2000, gives companies exporting goods from Africa access to America without having to pay import taxes. And annual exports to the U.S. under the deal are worth billions to Africa. A former congressman from California, Ed Royce, spent many years supporting the trade accord.
I have visited African apparel factories and seen AGOA's contribution to fighting poverty. Hundreds of thousands of Africans, particularly women, have been employed because of AGOA.
The growth of the textile trade is the standout example under AGOA. In 2019, exports of garments to the US were worth $1.4 billion. These machines are stitching garments for brands like Wrangler and Lee. United Aryan EPZ is one of Kenya's export successes, employing almost 9,000. Pankaj Bedi is the company's chairman.
If we don't have AGOA, I don't see how we can be competitive to supply to USA against the, you know, big giants in Asia, India and China.
The view that the United States will want any new trade deal with Africa to include reciprocity, in other words, American exporters having duty-free access to the continent, is gaining strength. Eckhart Naumann, an economist in Cape Town, is an associate with South Africa's Trade Law Centre.
I don't think the United States is simply going to roll over this program and allow 40 African beneficiaries countries to carry on using this non-reciprocal preferential trade arrangement.
So what could the United States introduce as a replacement for AGOA? Someone who has an inside track is Rosa Whitaker, a former assistant U.S. trade representative. She advised two presidents, Bill Clinton and George W. Bush.
In the Congress and in the administration, they want reciprocity. What I think we should do is graduate sectors. For example, we could have a formula whereas when Kenya's apparel reach $1 billion, we would then require them to enter into a free trade agreement light with the U.S.
Economies like Nigeria and Kenya have prospered since AGOA was introduced 2 decades ago, which adds weight to the argument for reciprocity. The trade negotiators have much to consider as they try to find a new deal. I'm the BBC's Russell Padmore for Marketplace.
Here in London, I'm Rahul Tandon with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.